Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Good to see everyone, those online, good to see you online, even though we can't see you, but anyway, obviously, there's an elephant, not just in the room, but it's across the globe, right, in this season, and so I just want to take a few moments and just talk to you about some things that we're doing, just to ensure that we're being wise, because the reality is we don't know if we'll be here next week. It all may be online, and if it is, that's okay. Thank God for the resources of the ability. It's different, but it's the ability for us to connect and chat with each other throughout a message or whatever. You just got to be flowing. Those that have gone on a missions trip with us know the terminology of a missions trip, and the terminology of a missions trip is what? You flex and you flow. That's just the reality of it, and so that's what we're all learning to do. How many little bubbles got a little pop this week, right? And so we're learning to flex and flow in a new way, and so we're going to do that. But this thing's affecting all of us, right? It's affecting the youth ministry. They were set to go to Ottawa and Kansas City area next weekend for Saturate Outreach, and they made the decision to cancel that. The AGK made a decision to cancel that, which is a wise decision. We were slated next Saturday to do Kids Bash, which was going to be an outreach for kids in our community, but we're backing off on that, or we're leaning that way anyway. So there's a lot of flex and flow. As I said in the email blast, my counsel to you, my counsel to myself, all of us, is to do three things during this season: to be wise. To be wise where you're getting your information from, and to act accordingly. Be practical. Implement that which you're learning. And then be prepared. And we'll talk about the prepared aspect really today for opportunities. And so as we walk through this season, obviously it goes without saying to pray, right? But I also know our human nature is, during seasons like this, is to maybe not pray, or you think, I need to pray, but your nature, your tendency maybe is, man, I got to go get this, and this done, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this and this tomorrow, or the next day, or whatever. And so to make sure that you're carving out time, because I tell you what, man, I don't know about you, I love our worship times. But today was really special, at least for me, because it's just like the compass of your heart all of a sudden goes, you know, it's bouncing all over the place maybe right now, and all of a sudden it just went where it's supposed to be. So make sure you're allotting those times in your life. Obviously, be attentive. Life has not stopped. You'll go to work. Many of you will go to work tomorrow. Some of you are in spring break. Life's not stopped, but be attentive. Be attentive to your neighbor. Be attentive to needs that are you're seeing around you. And not that you can meet all of them, right? But do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And just be attentive to what's going on. And then obviously stay connected. I encourage you, stay connected. For those of you that are in life groups, stay connected to your life group. Follow the leader's lead. Have communication there. Be contacting each other. How many know there's nothing like, if you missed a Sunday or two or whatever, there's nothing like to receiving, hey, I missed you at church today. Or if we're not able to meet next week because of just the advanced in our area, and so we want to be wise and pull back and not be together, just to have those connecting points. And so just some things, and I want to take several minutes this morning and talk to you about the voice of Jesus. You know, I earlier in the week, how many know Monday, Tuesday was a lot different than Thursday, Friday? And if there's ever a voice that we need to hear, if there's ever a voice that we need to be anchored to, it's the voice of Jesus. And it's not just because of this outbreak, it's because of everyday life. Because we know this will pass. But there's a voice that you need to be anchored to. And I was thinking, so I began to work on this message Monday, Tuesday, really the core of the message Monday. I knew where I was going months ago, but I began to work on it. And then Friday, Saturday hit. And as I started going through Friday, I was just beginning to process it and work through it. And I was like, man. And there was just a change going on in my spirit as to what I felt like the Lord wanted me to communicate to you. So yesterday we took care of some things, just made a trip up to Robin's parents and hey, Mom and Dad, I think they're watching today. Hey, send money. So we went up there, but on the way home or on the way there, I was like, man, I just got to change where I'm going. And so then last night when we got home, I came up and just kind of reworked some things as to what I felt like I was to share with you. Not a lot, but enough to say, okay, Lord, I feel good about where we're going this morning. How many know that's important? How timely of a message this is. That this would be the Sunday in our study from the book of Mark that we just started a few weeks ago, that we would be dealing with such a global crisis. Who knew months ago when I felt led to preach through the Gospel of Mark and do a mini-series entitled Voices, that we would be needing to filter through so many things coming at you in the midst of this moment that we find ourselves in. We started out this series talking about the voice of the messenger. Last week we talked about the voice of the Father. Today we talk about the voice of Jesus. In moments like this, you can see humanity at its best and you can see it at its worst. Can't you? French philosopher Maurice Blondel said this, if you really want to understand man, don't listen to what he says, but watch what he does. I don't know about you, but you know, in this week, I've found things going on in my heart, and I'm grateful for a wife that just says, you know what, you just need to stop. And I said, I'm practicing for whatever that's not healthy for me, right? And because we have all these different emotions, and truly, character, your character and your true self isn't made in the fire, it's just revealed in the fire. And so we're going to see a lot of that, perhaps, if things escalate. And my question to us this morning is, what would Jesus say to us? I'm going to adapt from where I was initially going to go earlier in the week to where I feel like through working and praying last night, where I sense that the Lord has led us to in this passage of text this morning in light of the pandemic. But with that, we need to hear the voice of Jesus in every season of your life. So, if you have your Bible this morning, go to Mark chapter 1. If you don't have it, it'll be up on the screen. Verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and followed him. As you look at this portion of text this morning, you're like, well, how are you going to tie that to our current situation, Steve? I want to see this. Jesus makes two statements in this portion of Scripture. One's an announcement, and the other is an invitation. And both of the announcement and the invitation require a response. Let me just talk to you as we set this up this morning, a little bit of background, if you will. You can read the same accounts that we find here in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. You can find it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22, Luke chapter 5, 2 through 11, and John chapter 1, 35 through 42. I would encourage you to take time to read those accounts because they paint really a broader picture of some of the narrative that of what is taking place here in Mark's gospel. Verse 14 of Mark says this: now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Just verses earlier, Mark describes us of the influence and the effect that John the Baptist is having on his culture, on the people around him. People are coming out to hear him. People are responding to the message with baptism. People are coming in droves to the outside of the community to where John's at. And Jesus is validating the message of John and having John baptize him. And now just verses later, understand there's a gap of time between your verses, right? We read that he's in prison. Why is he in prison? John's imprisoned by Herod Antipas because John continued to publicly condemn Herod's marriage to his brother's ex-wife. You can read about it in chapter 6. How many know you don't talk about a guy's wife? Right? Herod's a little bit upset about this. He's like, I'm going to take care of John. We're going to put him in prison because of it. But John was right in making his statements because conviction, to hold to conviction, is a dangerous thing. And John is willing to do that. So Jesus shows up in the Galilee region after leaving Judea. You can see it up on the map if you throw that up there. The Judea is down in the bottom area where you see Jerusalem there, and then Galilee is up top. So Jesus is trekking up towards Galilee. The region of Galilee is estimated at this time to have approximately 2 million people in this area. It's really the breadbasket. It's good farming. It's a fishing area. And perhaps that is why Jesus wanted to start ministry there, because people would be more responsive to his voice. They were used to innovation. They were used to change. And I love that Jesus went to this densely populated area early in his ministry, because it says to me several things to us. It says to me that the voice of Jesus shouts in a cosmopolitan area, redemption has come to you. It says to me that Jesus wants to speak to you no matter what your background is, what your situation is, where you find yourself in life, what your record is in life. It says to me that the fact that Jesus began his ministry in Samaria and Galilee instead of Jerusalem and Judea clearly communicates to us that his redemption is for all people. So, what's the voice of Jesus saying? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel is called the gospel of God because it comes from God. It brings us to God. It's the gospel of the kingdom because faith in the Savior brings you into the kingdom. It causes you to look at where you're at today, but it also causes you and invites you to look long into eternity. It's the gospel. It's the kingdom of God. At the heart of the kingdom are the words that Jesus sent back to John while John was in prison in Luke chapter 7. Go tell John what you've seen and heard, that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. That's the kingdom, John. Go tell John. And that's what you and I get to bring into moments like this. What is that restoration? What is the wholeness? What is the transformation? It's the kingdom of God coming near and coming upon us. So what's the application? because of Jesus' announcements in verse 15. What can happen when we respond to the voice of Jesus? And this is where I want us to get practical for where we're at today. You ready? Number one, responding to the voice of Jesus is an opportunity for transformation. Verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We won't be long here in this portion because we're really leading up to today's message. We've talked a lot about what repentance means, and it's simply meaning, it means turn around. It means to reorient your position, to turn around and seek a new direction, to change, to have transformation in your life. And I think that's very practical advice for you and I in a moment like this, when maybe your spirit or your mind or your heart begins to get rocked a little bit, and you get a little bit shaken because of things that you're hearing. Well, in moments like that, we have to reorient. We have to maybe even repent. Lord, forgive me for even thinking and worrying and blowing something up and that's not even happened to me or to someone that is around me. John Ortberg said this: God wants to redeem you, not exchange you. God wants to redeem you, not exchange you. He doesn't want to go done with that person. They've blown it too many times. They're unclean. I'm done with them. They took all the toilet paper. Done with them. God wants to redeem you. What else can occur when we respond to the voice of Jesus? Responding to the voice of Jesus will draw out the best of you. Look at it, verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brothers of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This "come follow me" statement was so big. It was huge. It wasn't just an invitation. Understand that it was a command. This invitation's a big deal. If you know any historical background on what education was like for those students, for those boys, for the kids growing up in that day, we have to understand the ancient culture of Israel. All young men started school, but not all young men finished school. For Hebrew boys, the school was all about the Word of God. It was all about the Old Testament for them. It would begin with what they call Bet Safar. At age 6, they would start going to school and rabbis to communicate to them, to paint a picture of what they were entering into. The rabbis would bring out a slate, and over that slate, they would pour honey over that slate to symbolize to them the reading and the memorizing of the Word of God in their life, and that the Word of God should be even sweeter than the honey on this plate. And so pupils, for the next several years, you're going to memorize the Word of God. And they would, by the age of 10, these boys would have the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of your Old Testament memorized. Amazing. And then they would move on to Bet Talmud, ages those that would move on, they would go on to Bet Talmud, ages 10 through 14, and these were the advanced students, and they would go on and they would memorize all of the Old Testament by the age of 14. Think about that. Amazing. And then those over 14, if they were able and that they accomplished the task of memorizing all of the Old Testament, they would move on to Bet Midrash, and they would become the rabbis of the day. That portion of school was like the Harvard. It was for the elite. And most of the young men wouldn't make it that far, obviously. Most schooling would end at the end of Bet Talmud, and these students would return to their father's profession. They would return and become fishermen or carpenter workers, and they would begin to start a family. And so these individuals that Jesus is calling here didn't make the cut. It was time to go home, if you will. But now they're hearing the voice of this rabbi, the voice of Jesus inviting them to follow. And Jesus is calling them. And I want you to know, in this season, in this moment, Jesus is calling you. He's calling to the nations of the world. He's calling to them to follow him. And here's the deal. Look at it this way. In the midst of this current crisis, what is Jesus speaking to you? How is he calling you right now? Because granted, we don't know how he's going to, what's going to unfold, right? We don't know what tomorrow, how it's in a, you know, if it's in a settle down or if it's in an escalate more, how long it will last, what's the ripple effect going to be. But you can decide today how you're going to respond. You can anchor yourself today. Paul exhorted the Romans who were facing dire situations of persecution in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God, that's how I'm going to respond. That's how I'm going to respond to this crisis right now. I'm going to respond to it by overcoming it with good. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: don't let evil get the best of you. You get the best of evil. Instead of letting it hit you in the face, you drill it in the face and give it an uppercut too. Florence Nightingale, who was a nurse in 1854, she went to Crimea, which is on the shores of the Black Sea. Here she nursed British soldiers wounded in the Crimean War, and sometimes she spent 24 hours on her feet or 8 hours a day on her knees dressing wounds. She comforted, she consoled, and wrote letters for many. Often she wrote mothers that their sons died holding her hand. Like the early Christians who nursed the sick and dying without thought or fear for their own welfare, she exposed herself to deadly contagious diseases just as she reflected the compassion of Jesus Christ. One of her favorite quotes is this: "The kingdom of heaven is within, but we must also make it so without." And what an opportunity. Let the voice of Jesus draw the best out of you. The invitation of Jesus, really the command of Jesus, leads us to the third thought this morning. And it's really the most important one. And it's this: the voice of Jesus requires a response. Verse 18, it tells us, "And immediately they left their nets and followed him." When Jesus calls us, when he speaks to us, when we have a part to play in the process, our obedience is key to the transformation God wants to bring in our life, but also in the life of other people. Jesus spoke to them. He invited them to follow. Peter and Andrew's response was this: they put down their nets and they followed. They didn't know what that would mean. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what tomorrow would unfold before them. But obedience factor is huge in their life, and they started with it right here. So right now, I hope that you join me in asking the Lord to make his voice very clear to you as an individual, as a follower of Jesus, but also very clear to you, or very clear to us as a body of believers. One of our values, one of our core values of the church, is that we would be a church without walls. And what an opportunity, unbeknownst of what's going to unfold, but if you play it out and if this lingers for a while, what an opportunity for us to be a church without walls. Lord, I want my response to be one that says, "Here am I, Lord. I'm available to you in the midst of this situation. Because I want us to represent you well. And Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 says this, "Care for the hungry and the thirsty. Welcome the stranger." Think about that. You think of the foreigner, you think of the immigrant with that stranger statement, but when you think about what's unfolding and you think about how people are responding, I mean, I saw on one of the news outlets that a flight from Eagle County, which is my home state, Colorado, was flying to Newark, New Jersey, and a lady on the plane coughed and sneezed, and people on the plane freaked out on the lady. They had to divert the plane and land it in Colorado to deal with the situation. Isn't that crazy? All of a sudden, fear grips people and you treat people like strangers. I could make a joke about Colorado there, but I won't. I'll just go on. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 25, verse 35. Clothe the naked. Care for the sick. Visit the shut-in. History shows early believers doing that well. They let that legacy live beyond them. And now we have an opportunity to let the legacy that they left us live through us and way beyond Corona 19. Because we all know, as Brian prayed when he was praying, it will pass. It'll pass. Trying to make this practical in the response aspect of it. Friday, late afternoon, I was in conversation with one of our school district officials saying, okay, we have spring break. We don't know when and if you'll open up again. So what's that do to the kids that are on the reduced lunches? What's that do to those that lunch, school lunch, is the only healthy square meal they get? And we had that conversation, and I said, you need to know, however we can help. If you need to use our facility for a distribution, if you need to be us Uber meal deliverer guys, we'll do it. Whatever we can do. It's awesome to get text messages from colleagues in town, pastors in town, saying, hey, guys, you know, whatever we can do to work together, man, let's do this thing together. That's the church, yeah. Right? It's not Life Point. It's not River Lawn. It's not Pathway. It's not Faith. It's the church. To look and to be aware of your neighbor's needs. To be aware of each other's needs we've not had great effects here, obviously. But yet, it's interrupted your week, hasn't it? And it's brought like a little bit of this is really inconvenient. And if we would have to, if we would have to go to streaming services, then that checking on your neighbor is going to be huge. One of the things that we made a decision to do was, as you know, this time a year ago, our parsonage was having foundation issues, and so we invested a large sum of money to that sounds like they're going to kick out, but to repair the foundation. And so we had to rip all the drywall, everything on the exterior of the basement interior walls. And so as we've been working the walls back to where they need to go, it's like, okay, let's plan on going in and framing the basement back in so we can get ready to sheetrock it. Well, we made the decision yesterday to say, you know what, let's not do that. Let's not drop the money. We have the money. It's not a problem to do that. But let's hold back because that's not a high right now. What could be a high high is if this thing lingers and there's a family. It's like, hey, mom's having to stay home and not work. And is there anything that you guys can do to help us because she's watching the kids? That's a high high. And so now, because we're not worried about that, now we have more room to play, to use, to you know, help people live life and to point them to Jesus, because no one's ever going to see the basement of the parsonage. We could go take a tour today if you want to. And then the same thing, the same conversation we're having that with the kids' bash as well, because we want to be able to reallocate the money to benevolent needs that may and will show up. So, Lord, give us wisdom. But think about it. We get to be the church. We get to respond to the voice of Jesus in a moment like this and to say, Jesus, we're ready. Don't like it. Don't like what we're seeing, but we're ready. This is what it's about. Lord, here we are. I can tell you one thing. He is speaking to each of us right now. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Or self-control when you're shopping. God's in control. Might sound trite. Might sound, oh, that's Steve, that's a nice Sunday school answer. We are like the person getting ready to do the ropes course for the first time. I mean, people have been where we're at, where we're the world's at right now. It's not a new thing, right? And they made it through. The course has been tested. It's a new virus, but. We're going to get through. The course has been tested. Workers are certified. But if you're getting ready, if you're the visitor at that park and you're getting ready to go on that ropes course and you're stepping, you've climbed up the platform now and you have the harness on and you're stepping to the edge of that platform, my guess, if you've never done before, especially if it's a really high platform, your knees are a little bit shaky. Maybe your stomach is like turning a little bit, thinking, if my mom knew I was doing this, I would be dead. Right? And your armpits are just like it's showering under there. And you're stepping towards that. And there comes a moment when you have to climb that tower and you have to clip in. And when you do so, when a climber does that, what do they yell? Bele. Which simply means I must be crazy, right? It really means I'm attached to something immovable. Bele. What's your Bele? Church of Jesus Christ, I know our Bele. And that immovable thing that you just clipped into on that ropes course will keep you from falling. And you're clipped in, and the instructor yells back, Bele. And the climber says, climbing. And that's what we get to do. St. Irenaeus, who was a Greek bishop, instrumental in guiding and leading Christians in now what is southern France in 130 AD, said this, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And to be alive consists in beholding God. What a moment we get to live in, to be alive in Christ now. And to respond to the voice of Christ. Last thought. Responding to the voice of Jesus impacts others. Look at it in verse 19. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Who was impacted by the voice of Jesus in this text this morning? We know that John and James were, but so was Zebedee. So was their dad, right? Now the sons are gone. It was typical in this day that a rabbi would be sought after, and now you have the rabbi seeking and inviting. How many know Jesus is still seeking? He's seeking in the midst of what we're facing, in the midst of what we're experiencing. Jesus turns the table and extends this invitation because it's a big deal to follow a rabbi. And he offers the same invite today. Hey, come and follow me. Jesus is speaking the same thing to you and to me. Will you come and follow me? Don't walk in fear. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk with an extravagant love of God. And have a sound mind in the midst of it. Nick Ripken's book, The Insanity of God, it's an incredible book. He writes about Russian and Ukrainian believers and their strong faith in trying times. And he asked them this question because they were experiencing, their situation was not a plague, wasn't a virus, it was immense, intense persecution that took the life of their family members. And he asked them this question, how did they learn to live and die like they did? And time again, I heard these words. We learned it from our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers. We learned it from our fathers, our grandfathers, and our great-grandfathers. You responding to the voice of Jesus in this season and in this moment will impact others, I promise you. Just like their voice was impacted by the voice of their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers. And it leaves a lasting impact. What does responding to the voice of Jesus do in this season? It's an opportunity for transformation. Don't miss the moment. It's an opportunity that can draw the best out of you. It requires a response. I guess no response is a response. But then lastly, it impacts others. And that is the moment that we find ourselves in. And it's a great opportunity. And we get to be the church in this moment and in this season. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for what following you does in our lives and what it can do, the transformation that it can bring to us and through us. Lord, if anyone's here this morning or if they're watching online, Lord, you're extending to them an opportunity for transformation in their heart and in their life, that they'd not be gripped by fear, that they'd not be gripped by the unknowns of what will tomorrow bring. But God, that they can be gripped and enveloped by a God who first loved them and gave himself for them. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody dance. Everybody enter. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.